Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Okay, so the reading this morning comes from Psalms 27, 1 to 4, our first part of our reading. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Our second piece of scripture comes from Acts 19:11-20. "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims.' Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?' And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and empowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who are now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily."
Thank you, Ray. So we're in the middle of a new sermon series, right? And last week, Pastor Tina, you had Pastor Tina here, right? Who enjoyed the message last week from Pastor Tina about fruits and roots, right? And getting to the heart of where, you know, the stuff that is happening in our lives, right? How we are, the attitudes we have, how we live, our decision-making, it all has a root. It all has a beginning. And so finding out, you know, where things come from, you know, in terms of how we behave, how we respond and stuff like that, you know, and if we want to change that, we have to change the root. We have to uproot that root. Okay, and so the sacred space. And so today I'm going to be talking about how slowing down can help us grow closer to Jesus and experience his power. Who likes being out in nature? Who likes going out? Yes, it's nice, eh? It's nice going for a walk. And here in Queensland, we're blessed, man. We got beaches, we got beautiful parks and stuff like that to go walking around, you know, in, right? I want us to take a couple of moments before we begin this morning for us to slow down, okay? And so I want us to look at this. Look at this image here, okay? And I want you to just, we're going to take 30 seconds. And as we're looking at this image, I just want you to take some time with and to sort of quiet your mind. Because I know a lot of us, our mind's racing. Our mind probably is not even here. It's probably thinking about what we're going to do after, or maybe what we're going to do tomorrow and stuff like that. But I want us to take a moment just to focus in on this picture. And then I want you to ask yourself, what is it that God is showing you in that picture? What do you see in that picture? What's a word or something that comes to mind when you look at that picture. Okay? 30 seconds. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together around your word. Thank you that you speak to us. When we slow down and are able to take moments to be able to stop and pause and hear from you, Lord God, you speak to us. You show us things. And so this morning, Lord God, our intention is to slow down and hear from you. So, Father, we commit to you our time this morning as a family this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the title of my message today is Slow Down. Slow down. Tap your neighbor and tell them, slow down. And so today, we're going to be looking at these two passages that Ray beautifully read, right? And so in Psalms, we've heard that was a psalm by David. And it's expressing his desire to be in God's presence. And then we heard from the book of Acts. And it tells us about the amazing miracles that happened through the Apostle Paul. And so as we work through these passages this morning, we're going to see that slowing down is more than just taking a break. It's more than just stopping. It's more than just pausing in that moment. It's more about the motivation for taking those moments. Okay? The motivation for taking those moments. So having the right motivation for slowing down is the starting point for us. Why do we want to slow down? Why do you think we want to slow down? We want to slow down so that we can experience fully what a loving union with Jesus is like. And this can actually happen it can help us to develop a deeper connection with Jesus and allow His Spirit to transform our hearts, our minds, and our attitudes from the inside. When we slow down, it helps us to hear what's happening up here, right? Rather than being bombarded by all the thoughts and stuff that's happening around us. Have you ever sat with someone and, you know, you're talking to them about, you know, you're talking to them about something really important to you and you're sitting there with them and you notice that they're on their phone or they're looking at you but also looking through you and around you, right? Have you been with those sort of people? Like, you can tell they're not really focused on you. They're not really engaging in this conversation. But this conversation means so much to you. You're about to open, you are opening yourself up to them. And they're like, active listening involves more than just hearing someone. Active listening is actively focusing on what is being said. And what is God talking to us in that moment? For me, there have been times that I've played, I've prayed out of a place of ritual. I remember when I was younger, my parents, they taught us a prayer to pray before we have food. And it's a Psalm 1 prayer, okay? It goes like this. It goes, "Fafita Yesu, fai mai me ai." Amen. And then we partake of the meal. And so there were times when, you know, I would pray and it would sound more like this. Amen. Right? What's my motivation? I'm hungry. I want to get to that food, Lord. You know, motivation. What specific time are you setting aside to create loving Jesus? How does that look like for you? Are you in a rush to get to it? Or are you slowing down to be able to enjoy the moment and hear Him in that place? When we set aside specific time to be with Jesus, that is part of our worship to Him as well, right? We see that when we're setting aside time to be with Jesus, that's also a time that, you know, it's like worship to Him as well, right? And so it's not just a specific act that we're doing in one part of our day or a particular part of our day. It's It's more about being there with Him, honoring Him. You know, one of our values as a church is worship, right? Our values, one of our values at the church is worship. We love to worship God. And it's not just in this context of like, you know, church activity or in campus ministry, right? Worship is about living out a life that is honoring of God. In how we talk and how we conduct ourselves, how we behave around people. That's the worship lifestyle. And we're also passionate about creating places where people can worship God safely, right? You don't have to do it this particular way, but we just want to create an environment where you will encounter God right where you are. When we learn to live a life of slowing down, of worship and gratitude, then we will experience God's power in amazing and real ways. And so what does a loving union with Jesus look like? What does it look like to have a loving union with Jesus? In his book, The Emotionally Healthy Leader, Pete Scazzaro says this. He defines a loving union with Jesus like this: allowing the will of God to have full access to every area of our lives, including every aspect of our leadership, from difficult conversations and decision-making to managing our emotional triggers. And that cultivating this kind of relationship with God can't be hurried or rushed. We must slow down and build into our lives a structure and rhythm that makes this kind of loving surrender routinely possible. So, a couple of things sort of stick out to me from this quote here. Number one is allowing God full access to our lives, right? Full access to our lives. Number two, don't rush the relationship with God. Number three, build structures and rhythms into our lives. Structures and rhythms, how does that look like in your life? How does that look like when you wake up in the morning? How does that look like when you're going through your day? How does that look like at the end of your day? In our opening passage that Ray read in Psalm 27, right? Here we find David, the beloved king of Israel. And he's pouring out his heartfelt expression of his longing for God's presence. David's life was marked by a deeper hunger. He had this deep hunger to be in intimate communion with God every single day. Remember, David is known as the one that is after God's own heart, right? Despite the challenges and trials that David went through, he consistently sought after God, and he desired to dwell in his presence. David's pursuit of intimacy with God went beyond just religious acts or, you know, beyond rituals, beyond formalities that we do, right? It was a genuine desire to know God more, to know God deeply, to commune with Him. He understood that true fulfillment and purpose could only be found in God's presence. I remember when I started dating my wife a long, long time ago, I'm sure a lot of us would have experienced this, right? You know, those first few days that you know you've introduced and you've made it official that you're boyfriend, girlfriend, right? And so there's this excitement in you, right? You're like on the phone all the time, hey? You're meeting with each other in the morning, in the evening, right? You know, you're just like, oh. And you know, back then, you know, some of you may not know, but phone used to have a cord attached to them, right? Yeah, and so like our phone, it was like in the corridor, and my room was like sort of just away from the corridor. It was like opposite where the phone was positioned because it had to be plugged in. And so what would happen is that when I'm on the phone, I would pull the phone into my room. And so there's a cord over there. And so I'd hear my parents sometime, "Are you off the phone? Get off the phone!" See, I'm nearly finished, Mom, Dad. I'm nearly finished. What are you doing on the phone? Who are you speaking to? Nobody. But it's really the girlfriend, right? And so, you know, we'll do things that would just, because it was a desire to be with them, right? There was a desire to know them. There was this desire in me to want to know this woman that I'm going to be spending the rest of my life with. Do we have a genuine desire to know God deeply? Do we have that genuine desire to want to know God? To get close to Him? To know what is this God like? You know, are we wanting to spend time with Him to really know what He is about? And no one can force us to do this. No one can force you to do this. It's like that old saying, right? You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Right? We need to decide what we will do with that relationship with God, the God of heaven and earth. Right? Because if you decide you want it, then I think you yourself will put into place. You yourself will have this desire to you will do whatever you want. You will do whatever you desire to be close to God, to be around God, to hear from Him. You will build those structures. You will build those habits to be able to position yourself to hear from God. And so going back to David's example, this should serve as an inspiration, as a challenge for us to examine our own hearts and consider the depth of our longing for God's presence. Do we have a genuine desire to know God deeply? Are we willing to prioritize and pursue a loving union with Him, just as David did? Are we willing to make the necessary adjustments in our lives to create space for intimacy with our Heavenly Father? And so the first thing I want us to see is this, seeking intimacy with Jesus, right? And so in verse 4 of our passage today, it says this, David is expressing his desire for God's presence in his words. These one thing. Everyone say one thing. These words capture the singular focus of David's heart. His unwavering pursuit of a loving union with God is about one thing. One thing. David understood the value of being in God's presence. This one thing. And it was this sacred moment. The sacred moment. That he would find strength, he would find comfort, he would find guidance in that one thing. In the presence of the Lord, David experienced a profound sense of awe and wonder as he observed the beauty of God's character and attributes. David's one thing that he desired is the pursuit of a focus on God's presence. And so a question for us this morning is, what is your one thing that you desire in your life? Is it a loving relationship with Jesus? One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, what comes to mind to you when you hear those words, dwell in the house of the Lord? To dwell in the house of the Lord, to dwell in God's presence. What comes to mind? Maybe it's spending time in God's word. Maybe it's spending time in worship. Maybe it's spending time in prayer. But if you looked at it like this, that was slowing down to be still, to be attentive to Him, to take in the beauty of God that is all around us and allowing God to speak to our heart and to listen for His guidance. Opening our heart to God's love and surrendering our worries and our burdens to Him. That's what it could look like to slow down, to not be so rushed, to be pushing forward the things that we want and the things that we want to do. To dwell in the presence of God is developing an awareness of God's presence throughout our day. It's inviting Him to be part of our day, right? Because I know we can get into the habit of starting our day with God and then hallelujah, and then we go through the whole day in our work day and we don't think about God until the end of the day. Oh, thank you God for today. But God's inviting us to be part. He's inviting us. He's wanting us to, if we want to dwell in His presence, then it's about acknowledging Him and being aware of Him throughout our whole day, throughout our day. And it starts with us coming before God with a humble heart and an expectancy to encounter His Holy Spirit. And it may be through a passage that you're reading. It may be through a prayer that you're praying. Maybe someone's name is on your heart. God's showing you something about someone, showing their face to you, and you're wondering, why am I thinking about this person, God? And if we don't have that awareness, then we're just like, oh, that person's just driving me crazy. No, maybe God is reminding you of that person. Maybe there's something that you need to pray for. Maybe there's something you just need to ask God, God, I want to pray for my friend over here. I don't know why you've shown me their face or you've shown me their name, but God, I want to pray for them. I ask for your blessing, your covering over them. Or maybe it's a time that you know, through worship, and it's some lyrics of some song that you heard, right? And the joy of the Lord, or something like that. And you just sense, why is this word, you know, speaking to me? Why is it heavy on my heart? Why is it being sort of magnified to me? Maybe God's trying to speak to you through that song. Maybe God's trying to show you something in that moment. We need to recognize that dwelling in God's presence is a lifelong journey, right? And it requires consistency and commitment. And I know that with all the self-help that's around these days, right? We think, okay, what's the formula? What's the formula to do to get into this place? Tell me the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps that I need to do to get to that place. I think we got to see the presence of God is not just a destination. It's the journey of our heart towards God. Right? It isn't a place we're just trying to get to. It's in the journey of going towards God. Because in that process, our heart's getting changed. God begins to do stuff in our heart. God begins to reveal stuff about us, about ourselves. And it's in that journey, it's in that process that we get to experience God. Do an exercise, okay? And it's going to be about a couple of minutes. But what we're going to do, I want you to close your eyes. Get comfortable, okay? No snoring. Okay, but I just want you to get comfortable. Then I want everyone to close your eyes. And the purpose of closing your eyes is that I want you to focus. Okay, I want you to focus. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read out a passage a couple of times. And then I want you, in your mind, begin to ask God, God, what are you trying to tell me through this passage? What are you showing me through this passage? And then we're going to spend some time to pray for that passage. Okay? Thank you, Father. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Which word stands out for you? Which words is God highlighting for you? What is God wanting you to pray for from this passage? Maybe spend the next 30 seconds just praying that word, those words to God. Father, we thank you for this time that we can pause, stop, and set our eyes and our focus on you. That we can trust in you, our Lord, with all our heart. And that we do not lean on our own understanding. But then in all our ways that we would acknowledge you, our Savior, our King, and our Lord, that you will make straight our paths. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. Wake up your neighbor if they're still asleep. No, I'm still praying, you know, if they're praying still. You know, was that hard? Who found that hard? Was that hard to do? Nah? Do you know that you can do that any time during your day? That only took 3 minutes. 3 minutes to dwell on a passage from God, to focus on God, to try and, you know, block out the busyness, the things, the tasks that we need to do. We've got to fight for that because we've got to try and stay centered. And that's why it's important to center in on a passage, centering in on God's word. That helps to direct our mind so it stops it from wandering, you know. Because I know, our minds wander. Our minds get easily bored. But when we're reading the passage and we're just reading it, and reading it, and reading it, and just allowing it to speak to us, allowing it to reveal more of God, what God is wanting to do, then we can do that any time, any place. Okay, secret one, okay? Sometimes when I go to the private place, you know, in the toilet, you know, I take that time. Ah, oh, Lord. No, you know, you're releasing yourself, but you know, it's a nice place because no one's around, right? No one's around. Some of you are looking at me, Pastor, that's a bit too much information. But hello, finding places. There's no one else in there with you in the bathroom, right? But it's a great time to think your thoughts. Focus in on God while you're doing your business, but you know, focus in on God, right? That's a great time to think about God, to be thankful for God. You know, this morning as we were praying before our service, something that Steph shared about was so good about taking us back, God, to what's most important, gratitude and thanksgiving. That's where it needs to start for us, in that place of being grateful for what God is doing in and through us. Amen? Okay, so let's keep moving. The second thing I want to, so is that all right? Is that all right with that, you know? So we've taken 2 minutes. We've taken two opportunities within our service to just stop and pause. And I hope that's what you're seeing here. I hope that shows you something that we don't have to, you know, it's good if we're able to find a space that is, you know, that we can be by ourselves. But right in amongst a crowd, we can silence what's happening in our minds, and just be there with God. We can do that anywhere. And it can start with just 3 minutes. It can just start with that. Is that okay? Is that helpful? Okay, so the second thing I want us to see is experiencing the power of Christ. And so I'm just going to quickly go through, these are through the book of Acts. And we're going to see how the power of God is at work in Paul's ministry, right? And so in Acts 19, verses 11 to 12, we see the miraculous signs and wonders. Handkerchiefs and aprons that like just touched Paul's skin, and then people are taking these back, and then people are getting healed from that. It's like, whoa, what a powerful way that God works, right? It's like these aprons and handkerchiefs, they became these carriers of the blessing, right? People believe that Paul, this mighty man of God, and this has touched him. So this could bring healing to someone. This is a pathway, a way of connecting them to God. In Acts 19:8-10, This is a bold proclamation of the gospel, right? Paul boldly, he boldly preaches the message of Jesus Christ. In the synagogue, he's in these these lecture halls, right? And so he's talking with people, he's engaging with the culture there. He's speaking with them. He's having conversations with them about Jesus. He's teaching daily. The next one, in Acts 19, 13 to 20, God's power through spiritual warfare and opposition. And so we see that these Jewish exorcists, right, that they do this thing of like they're talking to, you know, someone who's you know, he has a demon inside of them or a spirit, you know, and they say, in the name of Jesus that Paul speaks of, we tell you to leave him. They don't have any relationship with Jesus. They're just trying to use the words of the relationship that you know, of what they've heard from Jesus. And Jesus is like, and the demons are like to them, Jesus we know, and we know of Paul too. But who are you? Right? And what happens? That demon leaves that man and he comes on. And they get chased out, man. And they leave that place battered, bruised, humiliated. Because they're trying to speak something that isn't in their heart. They're just trying to speak words to it. But they haven't had a change in their heart. They don't have that connection. They don't have that relationship with Jesus. And that's what people are looking for. They think, oh, now I speak Jesus' name. But do you have a relationship with him? Does he know you? Do you know him in an intimate way? I think sometimes we can get to a place in our relationship with Jesus where it can get comfortable, right? We can get like to a place where, oh yeah, I know Jesus. Jesus knows me. And so we think, that's it. That's all I need to do. I've arrived, but it's not about arriving. Remember I said, it's the journey. It's the journey towards him. And so there's always going to be something new to learn about ourselves, about God. God's always going to reveal something. Hey, Henry, there's this attitude in you, Henry, that sort of comes out. You know, when your kids drive you a bit crazy, Henry, there's that attitude that sort of pops out. We need to deal with that, Henry. Being in relationship with Jesus, intimate relationship with him, opens our eyes to these things in us. Because as we're reading God's word, as we're being in his presence, and as we're seeing, oh man, Jesus was doing this, and my life's like this, oh, something needs to change. Something's not aligned. So I want to challenge us this morning that I know that we all got stuff we're walking through in life. And I want to invite our worship team up, please, if that's okay. There's so much that is happening in our lives. But can I say that the stuff that's happening in our lives, we chose it. We chose it. We made the decision to do what we do in our lives. And our loving God gives us the same choice to choose life with him, to choose a way of life that is different from what is happening out there in the world. It's a different source. It's a reliance on him. It's a reliance on allowing him to speak to us, to change our perspective of what's happening around us. God invites us into that. He invites us into slowing down. Some of us may think, I got to run at this pace. I have to play at this. I have to play at this level. I have to go this fast to get to God. But God's like, say, Henry, slow down.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.